Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a deep dive into some, well, truly profound source material, the ancient wisdom we find in Psalm 11. This particular deep dive, it's really all about understanding how to navigate times of danger, you know, deep uncertainty, and exploring how courage that's rooted in trust can be a far, far wiser path than just, well, retreating out of fear. It's really a powerful declaration of faith in a just divine order, even when everything around us feels completely unstable, maybe on the verge of collapse.
Yeah, it's actually remarkable how relevant this ancient text still is for us today. It offers these really profound insights into standing firm, you know, when the ground beneath us feels incredibly shaky.
It really does.
It speaks directly to anxieties we definitely still face.
Absolutely. And to truly appreciate its message, let's first maybe quickly explore the scene David sets for us in Psalm 11 itself. It's titled The Refuge of the Upright.
Right. So in the opening verses, verses 1-3, David is under just immense pressure. We hear these voices advising him, almost pleading with him, you know, flee as a bird to your mountain.
Like, get out of there.
Exactly. And it's not just a casual suggestion. It's framed as the only logical response because, as the text describes it, the wicked are actively preparing to strike against the upright. Their bows are bent, arrows ready to shoot at the upright in heart. It paints this vivid picture of intense instability and real imminent danger.
That sounds like honestly perfectly sensible advice in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Get out while you can.
Mm.
So, given this clear and present danger, what's David's surprising choice? Does he actually run, or does he sort of push back against that very natural impulse?
Oh, he absolutely pushes back. He challenges it.
Yeah.
And he poses this crucial, almost existential question that really cuts to the heart of the matter. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Oh.
And this isn't just about fleeing a physical threat, right? It highlights this feeling of profound vulnerability when the core structures, maybe society, justice, personal security, when those seem to be crumbling.
Yeah, that feeling when everything you rely on seems to be giving way.
Precisely. It's that moment.
So, okay, instead of fleeing from this chaos and this pressure, how does David square that? How does he reconcile this, you know, logical counsel to escape with his own take on the situation? What's his sort of counterintuitive response?
Well, he shifts perspective quite dramatically in verses 4-7. Instead of just fixating on the immediate earthly threat, he declares this foundational truth. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven.
Ah.
It's a powerful recentering statement. It asserts that despite all the earthly turmoil, despite collapsing foundations, God remains enthroned, observant, and fundamentally just. It's like saying there's an unchanging reality above the chaos.
So it's not just that God exists, but that God is actively engaged, aware of everything happening, no matter how chaotic it feels down here.
Exactly. That's the key. The Lord's eyes behold, his eyelids try, the children of men. This means God isn't just, you know, passively watching. He's actively examining, testing, discerning the righteous. And while he tests the righteous, there's this stark contrast drawn. The wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So there's a clear moral distinction being made, and it's coupled with a promise of ultimate justice. The wicked face severe consequences, symbolized by snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest, which the text says, this shall be the portion of their cup.
Intense imagery.
Very. But in stark contrast, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. This promises divine favor, recognition for those who stand firm.
Yeah, it's clear, even just from that quick overview, this isn't just some ancient poem. It's packed with timeless wisdom. What are some of those core insights that really leap out at you? Things that transcend its original context and speak to us today?
Well, I think the first and maybe most immediate insight is this profound message to don't panic, stand firm. The psalm opens with this intense pressure to run, right, to escape the danger. But David decisively pushes back against that very natural fear-driven instinct. The core insight here, I think, is that courage rooted in trust is just wiser than fear-driven retreat. It's a truly counterintuitive response to danger.
That is profoundly counterintuitive, isn't it? Our first instinct is often to run or react, maybe lash out. What makes David's choice to stand firm so revolutionary, especially when the danger seems so real?
Well, it's revolutionary because it shifts the locus of control, if you will. Instead of being dictated by external circumstances, by the threats of the wicked, David chooses this internal posture, one rooted in a higher truth.
Okay.
He's not denying the danger is there. He's just refusing to let it define his response or compromise his character.
Mm-hmm.
It implies that true safety, true integrity, they come from an inner conviction, not just you know, physical distance from a threat.
Right. Building on that idea then of seeing beyond the immediate crisis, another profound truth seems to be that God sees all, even when chaos reigns. You mentioned when the foundations be destroyed. Even then, the psalm says God is still enthroned, observant, just. It's a call to look past the crisis to a higher, unwavering perspective.
Absolutely. And that's not just a theological point. It's intensely practical. It offers this profound sense of stability right in the middle of instability. When human systems fail, when justice seems, you know, blind, or when confusion is everywhere.
Which can feel like often these days.
Right. The psalm reminds us there is a witness, an ultimate arbiter, who's not only aware but actively engaged. It anchors us when everything else feels adrift.
And if God is actively watching, actively engaged, what does the psalm suggest about the purpose behind our struggles, the hard times we face? Is it just about enduring them, or is there something more going on?
That brings up the third crucial insight, that life is a test of character. The text says the Lord trieth the righteous. It means God allows trials not to ruin us, but actually to refine us, to prove what we're truly made of. This ancient wisdom reminds us that character ultimately counts more than comfort. Our integrity, our faithfulness, our moral fiber, that's what's being developed and revealed when the pressure's on. The wicked, in contrast, they face judgment precisely because their character is fundamentally opposed to righteousness. It's powerful reframing. It shifts us from asking, why is this happening to me, to maybe asking, what is this building in me?
That does completely flip our view of challenges on its head, doesn't it? That's not about avoiding hardship, but seeing it as a crucible, a place for growth. But what about those moments, and we all see them, when injustice seems to be winning, when the wicked appear to prosper?
Yeah, and that leads directly to the fourth critical takeaway. Justice is not instant, but it is certain. The psalm contrasts the ultimate fate of the wicked and the righteous, and it underscores that justice might be delayed, but it will not ultimately be denied.
That's huge.
It is. For anyone feeling overwhelmed by apparent injustice, or, you know, the seemingly unending success of those who cause harm, this is a vital piece of ancient wisdom. It gives us that long-term perspective on cosmic accountability.
And for many, I think that delayed justice can be incredibly frustrating in the moment.
Mm.
How does Psalm 11 help bridge that gap between our immediate experience of injustice and that promise of ultimate certainty? What practical comfort is there?
Well, the comfort comes, I think, by shifting our focus, moving it from the immediate outcome to the ultimate reality of God's unchanging nature. It reassures us that even when we can't see the hand of justice moving, it is moving. It's a call to patience, really, to trust that the moral arc of the universe, you know, as they say, bends towards righteousness, and that our efforts to live justly aren't in vain, even if the payoff isn't immediate.
Right.
It encourages us to lean into faith rather than demanding, you know, instant gratification when it comes to justice.
So let's bring this home. How can these profound insights from Psalm 11 actually encourage our obedience and strengthen our faith in our modern lives, especially with the pace and uncertainty we often face today?
Okay, yeah. If we connect this to the bigger picture, Psalm 11 provides profound courage in times of crisis. Whether that's political unrest, personal loss, cultural uncertainty, whatever it is, it tells us, don't just run blindly from fear.
Okay.
Instead, it encourages us to stand firm in our values, in our calling, in our belief that good matters. And this directly encourages obedience to our moral compass, right? And it strengthens our faith that our firm stand is meaningful, even if it feels like a lonely one sometimes. It's about finding that anchor when the world feels adrift.
That's a crucial distinction. Standing firm is an act of faith, not just fleeing. But what about when we look at the bigger systems, things around us that can feel, well, rigged or corrupt?
Yeah, that's where the psalm also encourages us to trust that justice still has a witness. When corrupt systems seem unshakable, or maybe the moral ground feels eroded in our communities, or even globally, verse 4 reminds us God is still on the throne, still watching.
Right.
In modern terms, you could say accountability still matters, even if the timeline is way longer than we'd like. And knowing that strengthens our faith in a divine order. It encourages us to act righteously, live with integrity, knowing it's seen and it will ultimately matter. And that fosters obedience to ethical principles, even when there aren't immediate earthly rewards.
And turning inward, what about our personal struggles? Those times when we feel like we're just getting hit with one thing after another, it's so easy to feel defeated then.
It is. And this raises that important question. How do we view our own trials, our suffering? Psalm 11 teaches that trials build, not break, the righteous. Instead of seeing suffering as maybe a sign of abandonment or punishment, it frames it as a testing ground, a place for growth and refinement. And that perspective helps us handle adversity, maybe failure or criticism today, with endurance, with integrity. It fosters obedience through perseverance. And it strengthens our faith that even the hard times serve a purpose, contributing to shaping us into more resilient, principled people.
That's a powerful reframing. Really powerful. Moving from why me to what is this building in me?
Mm.
And in our world today, which often feels so confusing, so polarized, how does this ancient text offer clarity?
Well, it offers clarity in confusing times. That exact question David asked, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's still profoundly relevant, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When moral, civic, social foundations feel shaky, the song answers. Stay rooted in justice, not reaction. It's a call to obedient action that's aligned with our core principles, to prioritize righteousness over immediate convenience or, you know, popular opinion. That solidifies our faith in enduring truths. It really cuts through the noise and gives us a compass.
And finally, in a culture that can be pretty obsessed with outward appearances, with public image, what does Psalm 11 tell us about our character when nobody's watching, when there's no audience for our choices?
Yeah, that's a great point. This psalm reminds us that God sees character, not just circumstances. In a world that often rewards outward success, you know, speed, appearances, Psalm 11 underscores that what we do when no one is watching still matters.
Right.
God watches the inner life, the heart, not just the public face or the external circumstances. And this encourages a deep, consistent obedience in our daily lives, a real pursuit of genuine righteousness. It strengthens our faith in a God who truly knows us, seeing beyond the surface right to the core of who we are.
Wow. What a truly insightful deep dive this has been. Psalm 11. It isn't about finding some escape hatch from trouble, is it? It's about cultivating this resistance that's rooted in profound trust. It's really a call to live with moral clarity, with courage, with patience, even when things feel incredibly unstable all around us. It's about how we can strengthen our faith, encourage our obedience, not by fleeing challenge, but by standing steady right within it.
It's such a powerful reminder, isn't it? That you don't necessarily need to flee to truly stay safe. You need to stand grounded in faith that justice sees, justice knows, and ultimately justice will act.
Yeah, as the source material puts it so beautifully, faith isn't about fleeing trouble. It's about standing steady when everything else shakes.
Mm.
So as you go about your week, ask yourself this. In what area of your life might embracing the wisdom of Psalm 11 encourage you to stand firm and trust in a different way the next time you face a challenge?